Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search rockc3 for our app. This is the third week of our series called Grace, and this week, Pastor Josh explains that when we recognize our need for grace, it's easier to give it away to others. Enjoy.
Well, hello, Rock Church. How's everybody doing out there? You guys good? Man, I want to welcome you here to the Rock today. I hope you're having a great time. I've got a few of my friends here at our Conway location that are just giving me a little support, but also they're supporting all of you who are watching online right now. So do me a favor. Would you guys watch or welcome everybody who's watching online with me? So I'm so thankful that you are here with us today, and whether you come all the time or whether you are brand new with us, man, thanks for being here, and definitely want to encourage you to connect with us by texting in, letting us know you're new. We'd love to follow up with you and connect with you, and there's a number that you can text, 843-444-2144, but just text the word connect, and we'd love to connect with you that way. And man, I'll be honest, like, it's kind of crazy. We've been doing this for about 7 weeks now, you know what I mean? Where we've been meeting in this digital space. And I'm so thankful that we can do it. Let me just say that. I am very thankful that we can do it. We've said ever since we moved into this facility here in Conway, we've said that this isn't the church, that this is just a box. And that's really all it is. It's a box. But it's a box where the church gathers, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a box where the church gathers. And let me just say, I've missed you. Now, the beautiful thing is, even though we haven't been gathering in this box, the church is still being the church. My hat is off to you, because the church is still being the church, that we are still gathering together, and the Spirit of the Lord is with us, and we're able to connect with Him. We have people that are responding to Christ every week. We have new people that are coming every week. We have people that are being prayed over every week. That we have people that are getting teamed up. We've still had several baptisms happen. And I'll be honest, I can't wait till the day that we're back in here, and that baptistry is just being overrun with people, all right, that are saying, I want to take that step. And there's tons of chlorine in there. You don't have anything to worry about. But anyway, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that the church is still being the church, that people's needs are being met, that benevolent actions are taking place. I'm so thankful we can do all that we're doing. But I have to be honest, I miss the church. I miss, like, the church. And when I say that, what I'm really saying is I miss the people. You know what I mean? Like because of COVID, that we've had to do this kind of separation thing. And I miss just interaction with people. And I've heard from so many people that they've loved that they could gather online, that they've loved that they could connect that way. But what they're really missing is just human interaction. They're missing conversations. They're missing fellowship and community. They're missing worshiping together, because there is something that happens when we gather together and worship. And so just let me know, let me say this, that I miss being with you guys. And I believe that those days are coming to an end. All right, now I don't have an exact time. There's nothing I can say right now that says we're going to be meeting back together on this date, but it at least looks like that things are progressing to the point that we're going to be able to gather in our facilities in some fashion. It won't look like it normally looks. We're not going to cram 1,000 people in here. We're going to have to do things to make it possible where people can come. I know that, but I'm looking forward to the day when that is coming. And until then, I want to challenge you, keep watching online. I want to challenge you, make sure you're on the Rock app so that you know what is happening and what's coming and how to, when we are are able to open our facilities, what times we'll be doing it, and how to attend, and things like that. And then obviously, we're going to continue doing this digital thing. Now, we've already been a digitally driven church. We are a church that just believes in this method of discipleship. So when we start back, we're going to still be continuing to do everything that we're doing right now. That you know that there is curriculum and content out there for this gen. We have a Tuesday night thing that Scott is doing us, where he's digging deeper into what we're communicating, where he's kind of calling it Discover More. And this Tuesday, he'll be doing the same thing. And so we're going to continue with this digital discipleship, yet we know we need to be in community. We know that we need to be able to be there for one another. So I'm looking forward to the day that happens. But until then, well, what we're going to do is we're going to continue back into this series called Grace. And what I love about this series called Grace is it's built around this concept of sitting around a table where we share grace. Now I got to ask a question, and I'm not going to be able to tell what your answer is, but our host will. So I'm going to ask a question. And if you agree with this, if this is you, then I want you to hit the like button or the heart button. I've got a few people here in Conway with me. You can raise your hand. Here's what I want to know. If growing up, or maybe still, around your dinner table, every now and then you would say, let's say grace, I want you to raise your hand or hit the like button. Okay? Okay, so out of the people here in Conway, pretty much everybody just raised their hand. So that tells me those of you who are watching that's a typical phrase. It's this idea of let's say grace. And now I'll be honest, I don't know where it came from. I had several people on our staff researching this. You can't find it. Like there's not a historical record that we can find that talks about when let's say grace became a thing, okay? Now, Scott, I know you're watching. If you can figure that out and bring that into the Tuesday night Discover More, have at it. I would love to be proven wrong, okay? But it's made me realize or made me think that it is something we say, right? I mean, if you've ever watched Christmas Vacation, right? Like, we got to say grace. Say what? Say the blessing, right? You know, the next thing you know, it's a Pledge of Allegiance. Or if you've ever watched Hook, there's a scene in Hook where Rufio is across from Peter Pan, and all of a sudden he's got these eyes on him, like he doesn't know what he's thinking about Peter, and they say, well, let's say grace, and Peter starts to pray, but all the lost boys, they just yell, grace, right? You know, and then there's the famous Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights, Sweet Baby Jesus. Come on, I know there's only like 15 of you here, but laugh with me, please, because I can't tell if anybody's laughing on camera, but I can tell from you guys. So, but you know what I'm saying, that we question, it's like, why did we call it grace? Like when we're eating, when we're sitting at the table, why do we say, let's say grace? And it makes me wonder a little bit about the Rufio Peter Pan thing. Like, Maybe the idea of let's say grace came from this idea of sometimes you're sitting at a table with someone that you really don't like, and you're like, I need grace before I eat this meal. You ever thought about that? I mean, think about Jesus for a second. Let's look at this picture. That I don't know which disciple is which, but bottom line is, we know that some of the disciples that are in this picture, that some of them, well, some of them didn't really like, I don't want to say like Jesus, some of them had conflict with Jesus. I mean, you can think that Peter that night, the night this happened, betrays him. You can think Judas, the night this dinner happened, that Judas betrayed him in the sense of turned him over, gave him away to be crucified, basically. So Jesus is sitting at a table, and he's sitting at a table with some people that he's in conflict with. Maybe the way I could say it today is simply this, that when it comes to saying grace, when it comes to sitting around a table with people and saying grace, sometimes we have to eat with people who are our enemies. Now, if you've come to Rock very long at all, you know I don't really like using that term enemy because I just really don't think people are our enemies. But I want you to kind of hear it. That week one, we talked about eating with sinners. Week two, we talked about eating with friends. Today, we're going to talk about this idea of eating with enemies. And the better way for me to say that is eat with people you're in conflict with. That's just a lot more words, okay? But that's what I'm really getting at, is sometimes you have to eat with people that you have a conflict with. that Jesus had a conflict with Judas, but Jesus was willing to eat with him. And sometimes, let's admit it, especially right now, because we're all kind of eating at home, right? And when you're eating at home, let's just admit it, sometimes it's not always in good graces with your kids. Or kids, you might not always be in a great relationship with your parents because you're tired of them saying, did you do that? Did you do your homework? Did you do your homework? You know, and the school's coming, did you do your homework? Right? Like, there's some tension, but you still have to sit down and you have to eat. Maybe there's times at work that maybe you're not sitting at a dinner table, but maybe you're sitting at the boardroom table with someone you're in conflict with. There's times that you're playing athletics and you're sitting at the team table and you've got some conflict. You're sitting at maybe a wedding reception, and next thing you know, your name is sitting next to a plate with somebody else there, and you're like, I didn't want to have to sit with them. We're in conflict. So what do you do? You give grace. See, that's what we see with Jesus. There's a story that I want to go into right now from Luke chapter 7. And it's a story of a time that Jesus was in conflict with some people. There are some people that came into the story that were in conflict, honestly, with Jesus. One is a Pharisee, that Jesus was in conflict with the Pharisees. And Scott on Tuesday, like I say, is going to go a lot more into this idea of Pharisee. But we got Jesus is in conflict with a Pharisee. But then also, Jesus is in conflict with a lady that actually comes in to anoint his feet. And we're going to look at this story of this anointing now. Last week, we talked about a lady who was at the feet of Jesus and who was anointing his feet. Today, we're going to do it again. This is a different story, okay? So just catch that. We're talking about two different stories here, but we're talking about a story where Jesus is eating with those he's in conflict with. So let me just tell you the story, but it's from Luke chapter 7, and it goes kind of like this. It says that one day, there was a Pharisee named Simon, and he went to Jesus and invited Jesus to his house for dinner. So Jesus went. And while Jesus was reclining at the table, a lady who was known in town as a sinful woman, she came into the room, and when she saw Jesus, she knelt down behind him, and she cried, and she wept, and her tears fell all over his feet. And then with her hair, she dried off his feet, and then she poured out a very expensive perfume of alabaster, a very expensive alabaster jar of perfume, poured it out on his feet. And while this was happening, Simon was thinking to himself, wasn't even saying it out loud, but was thinking to himself, he said, if Jesus was truly a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. Well, Jesus knew what he was saying, so he said, hey, Simon, I want to tell you a story. There once was a banker who gave some money, who let some guys borrow some money. To one guy, he gave 500 pieces of silver. To another guy, he gave 50 pieces of silver. The problem was that neither guy could pay the banker back the debt. So the banker forgave both men of their debts. And then he said to Simon, he said, so Simon, tell me, which man will love the banker more? And Simon said, well, I suppose the one who was forgiven of much debt. But then what Jesus did is he said, you are right. And then he looked at the woman. He looked at the woman. But he said to Simon, Simon, when I came in here, you didn't wash my feet, which is what people normally do. But she hasn't stopped washing my feet since I came in with her tears. When I came in, you didn't give me a kiss on my cheek, which is the customary thing to do, but she's still kissing my feet. Simon, you didn't anoint my head with oil, which again is the customary thing to do, but she has anointed my feet with perfume. Simon, she has been forgiven. She loves much because she has been forgiven of much, but you love little because you've been forgiven of little. And then he looked back at the woman, and he said, your sins are forgiven. Now go in peace. And I love this story. And the reason I love this story is because it gives us such a great visualization of what it means to get grace and to hear truth. And now it starts, if you look at the story, it starts with the fact that Jesus, that he went to Simon, that if I could say it this way, that if you're going to go and eat with people you're in conflict with, the first thing you got to do is you got to go. See, it would have been real easy for Jesus when Simon looked at him and said, hey, Jesus, will you come and eat dinner at my house? It would have been real easy in that moment for for Jesus to say, no thanks, Simon. Like you're a Pharisee and you've been judging me and you've been putting me on trial and you guys are always talking bad about me. I know what you're saying about me behind closed doors. So no, Simon, I don't want to come and eat dinner with you. It would have been real easy for Jesus to do that. But that's not what he did. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus actually said, no, I want to go. And let's just think about that for a second. How often when you know you're in conflict with people and you know you're going to find yourself in the same room as them, how often do you find yourself running away? How often do you find yourself leaving? How often do you find yourself saying, nope, I'm not going to that party. That person's going to be there. Nope, I'm not going to go and sit at that table. That person's sitting there. Nope, I'm not going to go downstairs and talk to my mom. I'm in conflict with her. Whatever it might be. How many times do we run away from conflict? But that's not what Jesus did. He went towards it. He went to Simon's house. Why? Because he wanted to make sure that no one missed the grace of God. So you remember, our story, our whole series is built around this idea of sitting around a table, but it's also built off of this verse from Hebrews chapter 12, which reads, be sure that no one misses out on God's grace. Be sure that no one misses out on God's grace. Jesus, he's going to Simon's house, even though he knows he's in conflict with him, because he wants to make sure that no one misses out on God's grace, which means he wants to make sure that the Pharisees don't miss out on God's grace. You see, Jesus gave a lot of grace to sinners and people who were far from God, but he didn't do it at the exclusion of the Pharisees. See, Jesus still wanted the Pharisees to receive the grace of God as well. Like, he went to them as well. He went to Simon. He went to Nicodemus. He went to Joseph of Arimathea because he wanted them to catch the grace of God as well. You see, like 2 weeks ago, I talked about our church, and I said that we're not a fine china church. I said we're more of a chinette and red solo cup church. But it doesn't mean that we don't want people who believe in fine china at our church. Because we want everyone to receive the grace of God, period. Amen? We want everyone to get it. Which means we have to go to people whom we might not necessarily be in the best relationship with when given the opportunity. Because we want them to have the grace of Jesus. We want them to get it. Now, let me go a step further in the story. Because Jesus, first thing he did is he went, and where we gotta go. The second thing that he did is he helped them to get grace. I want you to think about the story again, that it says that these two men owed a banker money. One owed him 500 pieces of silver, the other owed him 50 pieces of silver, but neither one of them could pay the debt. Neither one of them had the ability to pay the debt that they had taken on. And Jesus, in that moment, he's making an illustration to Simon, because Simon is looking at this woman and he's saying, she is such a sinner. Like, she's such a horrible sinner. If Jesus had a clue who she was, he would know her resume of sin. And what Jesus is trying to do in this moment is he's not trying to get Simon to recognize the resume of sin. He's trying to get Simon to simply recognize sin. And that's the big difference. See, we too often, we think about the resume of sin rather than just the recognition of sin. And what we all have to do is we all have to recognize that we are indebted to sin. And we're going to have a difficult time paying it back. See, think about it this way. Like, if you have a car loan or a student loan or a mortgage, then you might be in debt. But you set yourself up on payment plans. And as you set yourself on payment plans, the idea is that I'll just make this monthly payment. And as long as I make this monthly payment on time, if I do that for a set amount of time, then my debt will be paid. That all I got to do is just make my monthly installments, and eventually it's all going to be good. And see, the problem is, that's what we kind of think about sin. I think that's why so many of us, we don't get grace. I think so many times that we don't get grace because what we do is we look at our sin and we say, well, okay, I've done this and I've done this and I've done this. So all I need to do is now go and do this good thing, do this good thing, and do this good thing. And as long as I do more good things than I do bad things, well, then I'm going to be fine, right? Like we think that we can pay for our sin habits and get out of the debt of our sin, almost like the way that we think we can get out of debt of owning on a car or owning on a house. But guys, let me just say it doesn't work that way. Now, you can pay your debt for sin. You can. So can I. I can pay my debt for sin. We all can. Because the Bible says that the wages of sin, or let me say it a different way, the payment of sin is death. So the only way that you can pay for your sin is through death. And let's be honest, none of us want to pay for sin that way. So I can't make payments to make up for my sin. So the only thing I can do is pay for it through death. Well, then where does that leave me? And that's what Jesus is trying to get at in the story. He's saying, Simon, you're looking at her resume of sin. How about we just recognize sin for what it is? You're both in debt. And the only way you can pay for your debt is through death. But I've got a better way. I can pay for your debt. I can take care of your sin problem, and I can forgive it because I'm the one who gives grace. That's what Jesus is saying. So he's saying, Simon, please get grace. We don't win grace. We don't earn grace. We don't purchase grace. We get grace. And that's a beautiful thing. I sat with our friends in our region ministry just this week, sat with several people, some of them on a Zoom call and some of them in the room, and we talked about grace. And guys, I'll be honest, when I think about getting grace, I am blown away by the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Because what I should get is death. What I should get is the penalty for my sin. But thanks be to Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's grace. That's grace. And that's what I want for you. I desperately want that for you. And at the end of this message, we're going to talk about how you can get that. But I got to go on to the next part of the story real quick. Because the next part of the story talks about this. It talks about speaking truth. Because, see, in this story, you got this getting of grace, but you also got this speaking of truth. And here's the beauty. When you sit down at a table with those you are in conflict with, then the goal is to give grace so that they'll get grace. The goal is to realize that maybe they've done something wrong, but I've done something wrong too. So let's give a lot of grace here and let's get a lot of grace here. But there's also an opportunity when you sit at a table to speak truth. The beauty of the dinner table, the beauty of sitting around a table is the opportunity for conversation. And Jesus takes advantage of that conversation, of that opportunity, and he has a conversation with Simon. And I want you to learn from him here, because here's a beautiful thing, that he gives us a process and in how to walk out conflict in your life. And let's be honest, we all have times of conflict with people. And again, too many times we run away from it. But what Jesus says, he says, go to it and then speak truth in it. And in this story, he's just real clear on it. And I love it. He kind of defines it like this. He says, speak to them, speak truthfully, speak timely, and speak graciously. Again, just go back to the story. That point of the story hits where he's looking at the woman. Remember, he's looking at the woman. But he says to Simon, Simon, stop right there. You see what he's doing? He's talking to him. The first thing he does is he speaks to him. Unfortunately, too many times when we have conflict with people, we don't speak to them. We go and speak to other people. We go to speak to other friends about them. We go and speak to other coworkers about them. We go and speak to other teammates about them. What does Jesus show us in this story? He shows us that when you're in conflict, the first thing you got to do is you got to talk to the person. Speak to them. Don't go to somebody else. Don't go to Facebook. Don't go to social media. Go to the person and speak to them. And then when you speak to them, then speak truthfully. Again, look at Jesus' words with Simon. He says, hey, when I came in, you didn't wash my feet, but she washed my feet. Hey, Simon, you didn't kiss my cheek, but she has kissed my feet. Simon, you didn't anoint my head, but she has anointed my feet. Do you see what he's doing? He's speaking truth. Too many times when we're in conflict, we speak fiction rather than facts. We run on feelings rather than facts. And we say, well, here's my feelings. Here's the fiction that I have in my mind, rather than just speaking truthfully about the situation. Jesus shows us something. Go to a person, speak truthfully, and then speak timely. Again, he does it in the moment. Now, I'm not going to ask you to hit a like button, but how many of you, when you've been having conversations with somebody that you have conflict with, how many of you are bringing up the past? Again, don't hit that like button. You don't have to hit that heart button or anything, okay? I'm not calling you out right now. I know some of you are watching at home right now. You're looking at each other going, mm-hmm, last night, right? You know, I want you to think about Jesus for a second. Do you want Jesus to bring up your past? Or do you want him to talk about the present and the beautiful future he has in store for you? And in the same way, in the exact same way, if you have forgiven something in the past, when you're talking to somebody about a present conflict, then deal with the present conflict. Don't go running to the past. Stick to the present. And then speak graciously. See, the last thing Jesus did is he spoke graciously. That he looked at this woman and he said, your sins are forgiven. What he was saying to Simon is, Simon, your sins are forgiven. See, I love this story because if you remember right, if you think about it, if you go to the words, it says that he was looking at the woman, but he was speaking to Simon. He was speaking to Simon truthfully, timely, and graciously. Yet at the same time, he was in conflict with the woman. See, the woman was a sinner. So he's looking, you know, at her while he's speaking to Simon, but everything he's saying there is directly correlated to her as well. He's speaking truth. He says, you have many sins. He's speaking timely about what she's doing right in the moment. He's speaking graciously about, I can forgive those. And when she receives it, you know what he says? Go in peace. Look at this verse. It's the last verse, Luke 7, verse 50. It says, and he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Go in peace. That he is letting her know because of grace and truth in her life, that she received grace, but she also heard truth, that now she could go in peace. So catch this. When you give grace and speak truth, then you can give peace. When you give grace and speak truth, then you bring peace. And that's why we should sit around a table with those who are in conflict with. And that's why we should sit around a table with Jesus. Because again, we're all sinners. I don't have to list a resume of sin. I can just recognize the fact that I'm a sinner. So what I need is I need to get grace. And get truth, because then I get peace. And that's what I want for you right now. Even as we move into this time of response, I want you to get grace. I want you to get truth. Because I want you to get peace in your life. And I know in this season that we're in, there's a lot of things that just aren't very peaceful. I know sometimes the home isn't as peaceful as you want it, that there's conflict. I've heard from a lot of moms who are having to homeschool right now. They're just like parent-teacher conference every day. There's conflict. I know there's a lot of anxiety. I'm burdened because I've heard this week just about all the stats when it comes to mental health and abuse and addictions, that they're all on the rise right now. I know there's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of chaos. And I want you to find peace right now. And I believe the way that we'll find peace is if we get grace. If we'll just get grace. So right now, even in this time of response, I want you to respond. I want you to sit at a table. I want you to recognize your sin. And I want you to ask Jesus to forgive you. Even those of us who have already asked Christ to be our Savior, I want you to get that today. I just want you to get the amazing grace of Jesus Christ. Because the more you get the grace of Jesus, the easier it is to give the grace of Jesus away. So recognize sin and get grace today. Understand it. And maybe, again, if you're brand new, maybe this is a whole new thing to you, but maybe today you're ready to get grace. Then I want to help you with that. If you want that grace, if you want that peace, then I'm just going to challenge you right now, while you're watching this, pick up your phone and text the word yes to that number that you see right there. Just text the word yes to that number, because that is you saying, Jesus, I want grace. I want to get grace. Because you've heard truth today. But now I want you to get grace. Because I want you to know peace. And I want you to get that. So right now I'm challenging you a bit. And I believe it's going to happen. That there's some of you that you're getting that. Some of you are in a chat with some of our hosts online. Then you just tell them. You don't have to text that number in. You just tell them. But whether you tell a host that you're with online, whether you text that word yes to that number behind me, you do what you need to do to get grace right now. But the other thing I'm going to challenge you to do during this respond time is to speak truth. Because see, some of you are sitting in rooms right now, and you know you need to give grace to one another. And maybe there's some truth that needs to be spoken. And I know you might be going, hey, can we just hit the pause button? Let's just stop. Can we fast forward? But I think one of the best things that could happen right now, while you're watching at home, while you're worshiping at home, is that you're starting to get grace. Well, now's a great time just to speak truth. So we're going to give you a little bit of time. The band's going to be playing. They're just going to be kind of playing softly for a while. And it's going to give you an opportunity to text that number in. It's going to give you an opportunity maybe to talk with one another, to give grace to one another, maybe speak truth to one another at home. Maybe if you're by yourself, to just to sit with the Lord and just to receive His grace and allow the Spirit to speak truth into your life. Maybe you're going to make a note of somebody that you need to go to and you need to give grace to because you know you're in conflict with them. You take some of this time during this response time to do that. Eventually, the team's going to start singing, and if you want to sing along, then sing along. If you want to keep having conversation, then you keep having conversation. But let's use this time to truly respond and to get grace and to get truth and to get peace. Would you pray with me? Jesus, I come before you right now, and I just ask that you will move in a way that only you can move right now. Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize that I need your grace. Jesus, I pray that we would all recognize that and that we would get grace tonight. We'd get a good understanding of grace. and then we'd walk that out. Jesus, help us to respond to the things we've discovered. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.